Welcome to the Nonprofit Renaissance Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Colin, and we've got a great episode for you today. This is actually part three of our conversation on marketing and branding with Justin Price, the principal and CEO of the agency that powers this podcast, Verse Creative. Our goal for every episode of this podcast is to help you go further and grow faster. So let's get into it.
Liquid Death, one of the most valuable water brands in the last couple of years.
Insane, because tell me why. Because I didn't understand it at first. Category, is this necessary? Why?
Canned water.
Okay.
There was no cool water. The case study, which we've talked about before,
yeah,
but for the podcast's sake.
And we are drinking Liquid Death right now, so sponsorships, please come our way. We'll send you all of... Why?
How are we going to send them?
How do they blow up? And because they came into the scene a few years ago.
Yeah, it was a marketing guy. He saw backstage that Monster at Warped Tour. Monster was sponsoring Warped Tour, and they were putting water in the cans because these guys who are putting on incredible physical feats, which are musical performances, yeah, through the summer.
They're athletes.
They are athletes,
yeah.
Especially the Warped Tour style of movement, with like the heavier rock guys. Incredible. Like, they're drinking water because that's what you need. You can't consume five Monsters on stage.
But
amazing branding from Monster, and this marketing guy saw that, realized why is there not a cool water company sponsoring this if that's what they're actually drinking, because that's way more authentic. And he was just like, oh, we can tell a story around an edgier look, you know, and ultimately that people care about what they carry. This came off of the heels. I don't know if you guys, what you guys think about this, but it's pretty wild to think what's happened in the last 20 years. When you, as a professional, when you walk into the room, the cup you carry and the logo that's on it actually matters.
Makes a statement.
It tells a part of your story. Your car stays in the parking lot. A lot of people might not see it. But if you walk in with a local roasted cup of coffee, or you walk in with Starbucks. 20 years ago, walking in with Starbucks meant something.
It's affordable luxury, but there's a stamp of went out of your way. I paid three times for this experience, for this association, for this fair. Now, I don't think it's there now. I think they've lost that.
They did.
They have lost that.
But even in the like Circle K coffee, which I think is delicious, Wawa coffee, I think, is delicious as well. It's like half that price now. Mm-hmm. I think it's still like $2, $2.50, and I think you can get a Starbucks coffee for like $4, a drip coffee.
But is it status?
But what you carry, like, so there are certain rooms I would walk into that back in the day I would not carry a Starbucks cup into, because it was like, I'm going to be paying for that guy's $4 coffee. And the people who I was talking to buy $2 coffee. And so I would stop at Circle K instead of Starbucks because of the brand message that it said. So the cup you carry means a lot, especially, you know, in business. You know, I think in the nonprofit space, it's not a personal brand. It's like, hey, we're all kind of working. We are in a lower income environment, doing something we're passionate about. But for the most part, I think there's an understanding that we're, I don't know, it's not really luxury in a lot of nonprofit environments, like, isn't really celebrated. Yeah. And so affordable luxuries were,
yep,
it was like this gray area of like, oh, it's not okay for me to wear a Rolex, but I'm in the club if I'm drinking Starbucks.
And they're going to drink the amount of coffee that they could have bought the Rolex, but they drank it over 2-3 years. They could have instead bought the Rolex.
I think a lot of people in the last 20 years had to do a wake-up call on how much they were spending on coffee.
Absolutely.
For sure. Because it kind of just creeps up on you, doesn't it?
$5 a day?
Well, $5 a day, then you add like the egg bites.
And then the gum. And then the run for the friend that you're going to see. So there's the tech. And then
all of a sudden, it's like, that was a $20 trip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's because I've never drank just one cup of coffee. If I'm at Starbucks, I'm usually getting a refill, right? I'm usually stopping in a little
bit
of work.
I get the free refill.
Wait, there's refills?
Well,
on the drip.
Free ones?
Yeah, it's free. Well, they always make me pay,
but it's like under a dollar. But
I did not know. I never get regular coffee. Anyway,
yeah, because you, for the listeners, Aridus drinks like a quad.
It's a quad Campana.
If it doesn't have cold foam, he doesn't.
Oh,
want
cold
it.
Foam or the nitro.
Flavored cold foam.
But that's how I've gotten my hair back and my beard. You know what I'm saying? It's there. They don't tell
what
you this.
What do they put in it?
I think Aridus consumes more espresso in one day than the average person consumes in a week.
I'd say you embody cold foam. I think you know.
It's my nickname in high school. What up, cold foam? Hey, back to branding, because there's that.
It's liquid death.
Liquid death.
So it matters what you're carrying, the brand that's in your hand.
And they've made water cool again. Isn't it fascinating? And I think what I've seen comedians, I've seen podcasts sponsored, I've seen guys who would be drinking a beer, mm-hmm. but now they've dropped the beer for the liquid death can, only because of what it's like. The guys who sit back with they don't enjoy cigars, but they know that holding a cigar feels like this, or they don't what it does to the.
For sure. Very social.
The social, the mm-hmm. all of the above.
Well, it's like when we stock the fridge in the studio, we could buy like plastic water bottles, or we could buy liquid death, and we'll pay a premium for liquid death. But the vibe that it gives, yeah. you know, it plays off to, we have a black studio. We have a couple thousand square feet. We have a lot of guests and clients come through. And so we'll spend it more. We'll buy more expensive water bottles, and then we'll do like the liquid death sparkling or like flavored. Because we want that vibe to carry all the way through everything we touch.
So why, Justin, in your experience, what are some of the challenges that companies, organizations face when trying to establish a strong brand, an identity? In this case, some organizations missed out on this lane. They ignored it, didn't explore it, or does it take a new company?
Well, and especially for nonprofits, why should they care? If like their quote unquote market is one that maybe doesn't always lend itself to having this super well put together luxury high end brand, why should they care about this?
Yeah. What are some of the challenges? How do you measure? Like, what's the importance of it even? Because some say, no, as long as we're doing a good job with our product, the branding doesn't matter.
Do I actually need a logo? Identity, do I need one?
Yeah. The identity doesn't matter. Now, let's define this though. A brand is what? How would you define what a brand is?
So a brand is much bigger than a package, right? So when we're talking about liquid death, which by the way, I mean, there's never been a more successful water company. We're talking about this brand. It's a
brand
global brand. It's 4 years old.
It's insane.
It was founded in 2019 and skyrocketed over $100 million for water. And the margin on this stuff is crazy.
And the beverage industry is insane to cut through.
It's so hard.
Yeah, insane.
I mean, yeah. Consumer packaged goods is a really tough marketing industry. But again, I think like just a genius founder saw a huge gap in a small market. It's like a wide open gap in a small market, which was like that edgier, mm-hmm. healthier option. It's not beer. It's not just for sparkling, but like you're going to drink a liquid death over a bubbly.
Speak for yourself.
Not cold foam here.
Hey, I'm
cold foam. Don't you drink bubbly. Orange cream bubbly.
I'm a LaCroix.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this really came off the heels of LaCroix.
LaCroix. But LaCroix.
San Pellegrino had already had full global saturation for carbonated drinks and had some good flavored drinks out there.
Yes.
But a lot of sugar. Liquid Death did a good job of agave sweeteners, keeping mm-hmm. the calories light, bringing good flavor.
Yep.
A different can, not, different form factor.
Yeah. And it's not like a lot of sparkling water drinks that you know, are quote unquote flavored. Like, it's a very happy medium. Mm-hmm. So I've always been super happy to drink one.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting on Liquid Death specifically, address this. They met a need, or they noticed an imposter syndrome scenario where, okay, they're masking these cans to put water. Like, what's happening here? There was a brand that wasn't living up to its standard or to an opportunity. They met, they said, like, you know what? They
Monster
caught that.
Could have done that.
Yes.
Monster could have done water.
That's what I'm saying. Why not Monster? They could have done a clear can, or they could have done something edge. And yet, you know, what are some of those opportunities, right, to identify, to be looking out for?
I'll tell you what, there's probably a lot of other guys who could answer that much better as far as like whether that was a good idea for Monster to stay away from water and just keep selling sugar and caffeine and energy drinks. I'm not a specialist in consumer packaged goods or the beverage industry, but I have been doing branding for nonprofits and for manufacturers for the last 20 years. And so I can speak to brand and your question about, you know, what is brand? Brand is ultimately, it's the emotional response that somebody has when they interact with your organization in any way. And so whether they pick up your product, they experience your product, whether that's a digital element of it or a physical embodiment.
Or walk into an experience that you're created.
Obviously, I think the in-person walk-in is the full five senses. I would say most organizations are doing a pretty poor job at recognizing all of that. Mm. Your big retail stores have specialists who have done things as like far as like, you know, fully creating a branded scent so that there is a unique smell. You can't walk into a Nordstrom that smells different in anywhere in the world. They all smell the same. They have a branded scent. You can't walk into a Marriott.
Double tree cookies, baby. Come on.
A double tree cookie.
Come on.
It's got it all. The taste, the smell, the touch.
Oof. Is this a shampoo commercial?
So anyways, great brands globally understand that the experience is a full five senses. Oftentimes we don't get to control all of those, so we only have audio. We only have something that's visual and audio. We only have, you know, when we're distributing something that's digital.
Bring it down, Justin, then to brand is this umbrella, this bigger identity picture. What does a logo have to do with that? And what's the value of the logo? If I'm a CFO, a CMO, somebody sitting there, it's like, dude, it's just a logo.
Well, and based on what you just said, I'm going to say, okay, well, so it's not even about our logo. It's about how we make people feel. So we're going to put all of our effort into that, and then we're just going to keep this crappy logo that we have. Why?
Correct.
Why should they not do that?
Yeah, there's two thoughts. I like this idea that, you know, the invitation always has to match the party.
Good.
There's a really good there's a guy who says this all the time, Charles DeMarco. He's the CEO at New Life Solutions.
Great
and
dude.
Every meeting that we talk about branding, he's done some big marketing global marketing campaigns before he was at New Life. He was working on some large franchise organizations that were national. And I love, you know, we connect on a lot of things on marketing and branding, and he gets this, like the invitation's got to match the party. And so, you know, I think your logo is something like, it's a way to kind of sum up. It's like a thumbnail, you know, a thumbnail for a video, or it's like the thumbnail for, it's a headshot, right? Like it's really not you, but it is the first glance, you know, and it says something about you. And so the cool thing is like, yeah, you can overcome a bad headshot all day long. If you're a great person, like if anybody meets Colin in person.
I apologize.
If you're used to his voice.
Talk about liquid death. Just the sweat alone.
They're going to, if they meet Colin in person, it's going to overcome anything that they've seen, you know, online.
You'll get past his voice. You know, you'll realize that. On the podcast.
And you just go, I like Colin, you know, the headshot doesn't matter anymore. The second that you meet somebody that is a great person,
right,
you just go, I like them despite anything, whether you liked the headshot or not. You'll like them more if you liked the headshot. So that's just a plug to meet Colin, meetcolin.com.
Come on.
Yeah. Click below for the meet and greet.
Yeah. The invitation does not always match the event.
Yeah, but hey, Colin's an after party, you know what I'm saying?
every time.
And that's invite only. You know?
Man, the podcast rap parties are so good.
People are like, I want to meet Cold Foam. I forget Colin. Colin and Cold Foam, that's going to be the go downtown Tampa.
Wow.
Oh, you guys got new branding. I love it.
Welcome to Colin Cold Foam.
I love it. We're always working.
Always working.
Right, so
so the invitation, right? Like the icon, the mark. A logo is typically, we talk about a logo as a lockup. It's typically two things. There's an icon involved and there is a word mark. Adverse, we've got like just a word mark. We've thrown away the icon because the reality is like Verse isn't a product company. We're a service. We're an agency. And the work we do is all shown by the clients. So I don't want something – we kind of treat our brand kind of like a museum in the sense that, like, nobody cares really what we –
yeah,
what our brand looks like, because we're amplifying everybody's else's brand. And so we chose not to have an icon because we have a four-letter word that's pretty reasonably like recognizable. And we just made it simple. So if you have 12 letters, an icon will sum up those 12 letters. And so a brain can see a single shape and can associate that with your organization. An icon works really well in a lot of digital formats, like a phone app. It's very, very hard to replicate that one. The hardest one, though, is the URL favicon. So if you've ever seen the little, it's 40 pixels by 40 pixels.
Tiny.
And every brand has the opportunity to put a colored favicon in the URL. What's really beautiful about that is when you look at all the tabs, if you're one of people like me that has like 50 tabs open, I can scroll across all those tabs and I know exactly what site I'm on.
Oh yeah,
based on a 40 by 40 pixel favicon. If you've got a word mark, you cannot put more than one letter realistically or one shape in the favicon.
Yeah,
you really can't do it well putting a bunch of letters into a phone app icon. Mm-hmm. And that's just two applications that are digital, but they're from almost every organization. There's a need for an icon.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have that, the brain has to take the word mark, which is going to be a combination of letters. And if you have a three-letter word mark, you're fine, right? ABC, NBC, no problem. Three letters, very recognizable. They can fit inside of a favicon. That's really the max. Even versus, you know, favicon, it's not great. It's not. I'll be the first one to admit it. That's okay. We're not a global brand. Like we serve global brands, and so that's okay for us. But one day we should maybe think about that. H,
I'm on it.
Okay,
I'm on it.
But that, anyway, so we've got the icon and the word mark itself, and so the logo is actually those things locked up, and your logo can have a couple of variations. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about a brand, there is one thing that kind of is the identifier or the mark for that. That's the logo, the icon.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. How do I quantify the value of a logo? How do I quantify what it's worth, what it's doing? Why should I change it? Should I not change it? Is it time for a rebrand? Should I change it every year? Can I measure that? Is that measurable?
This podcast is powered by Verse Creative. Verse is an award-winning full-service creative agency and production studio trusted by global brands and organizations. Verse specializes in nonprofit organizations who are serious about their mission and maximizing their resources. Find out how Verse can serve your organization today at versecreative.com.
Yeah. So there's a couple things. One is if you're trying to grow, think of the brand as the core organizational essence. And then the icon is just a way for people to kind of like associate something that you've done back with the brand, back with the organization. Mm-hmm. Your board of advisors, whether that's like an elder board or your board of advisors, or your nonprofit board of directors.
Sometimes elders, right? Elder boards.
Or elders, deacon boards.
If you're in a ministry.
There's all sorts of different groups. They're part of the brand. Their reputations are part of the brand.
Hmm.
Your CEO, your leader, obviously their personality, their persona is oftentimes a part of the brand. And then oftentimes, you know, some brands have to fabricate their own. You know, Tony the Tiger, Frosted Flakes, Chester Cheeto. Like, they didn't have a person. They got a consumer packaged good. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously, you know, a large company with a sub-brand.
Mickey Mouse.
Making Cheetos. Mickey Mouse. So we can fabricate personas, but one way or another, if you want people to connect with your brand, you've got persona, and then you have like the value of the icon and the word mark itself. And it's going to go on pretty much everything. And it's just the ability, it's the cost of people recognizing what comes outside of your organization divided by the growth you want to have. So the cost of people recognizing it, divide that by the growth you want to have, or times the amount of people you would like to grow by, and the cost to grow by it without recognition.
Recognizing?
Can you cut that?
Yeah.
All right, so the value of a brand is basically going to be something along the lines of the whole organization's impact, vision, all the pieces, right? So you got things like your leadership. You got your personas of the big personalities inside, even might even be like advisors or directors or CEOs. Those personas oftentimes take on a ton of value. The logo really doesn't take on a ton of value. It's like I know a great example of that is like Dan Cathy, Chick-fil-A. You know, his persona means more than the logo does. Except if I'm looking for a Chick-fil-A and I'm on a busy road and I'm trying to figure out where to turn and I miss the turn and I got to go to the next exit, I'm not coming back for Chick-fil-A. Although for me, depending, I might come back for Chick-fil-A.
Coming back for those nugs, man.
But the reality is you might go to the next stop and you might not have option for Chick-fil-A. So there's a cost there. And if the average car is like $20, I missed the icon because it was just a picture of Dan Cathy. Mm-hmm. I missed the icon. I missed the turn. So you missed the $20 from that car or whatever your average car total is. And then you also have your cost per opportunity of getting a new car, a new ticket, a new sale. And so if the icon can drop the cost, if a logo can drop the cost, if it's causing a problem right now where people are passing and they can't see it, they can't understand it, you don't have a favicon, you don't have your app, they don't open the app because they every time they go to it, they can't remember what color it was because you did black and you put your word mark in there. And
K-verse. Justin, no, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Hold on. So you said, how do we look at the value of it, right?
Yes.
So the value is your cost to get a customer to convert and what it can play into getting that customer to convert. So everybody's going to have a different equation. Every organization, there's not even like a CPG is not going to have the same equation. And then you also have to look at the life of the current or existing thing. So when you change, you build a brand value based on the customer's experience. So you build brand value every time the customer engaged, they believe something about the brand, good or bad. We were just talking about a brand in Tampa that closed down or filing bankruptcy. And in the last year, their food service kind of went down. And so every time I went and tried and they didn't have coffee or the food was kind of bad and it was kind of expensive, my thought of them and my desire to bring somebody else there, it kept going down. The value of the brand went down. That's a great brand. If they were going to change their food buyer and they're going to lower their prices, they'd be a perfect one to maybe change their name. Not just the logo.
All of it.
But they would maybe try to change their identity as much as they possibly can if they were going to try to repair that. Now, these guys, they're probably just going to file bankruptcy. They'll probably just fade into the night and we'll be like, remember when that really cool place was open back there? And the guys who started it are great guys. There's nothing wrong with them. But they'll probably start something new with a new name and it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Their persona is definitely a part of it. They've got some like personality that people know. And
Queen Country, I think, is what they're going for. That's what's next. Can you cut that?
So when you look at brand, there's a very complex picture in value. There's a complex picture that you have to understand with changing it. And so every time we talk to somebody who goes, I want a cooler logo, we have to oftentimes go, how long has your logo been out there? And have people been having a good experience with it? Because even if it doesn't look that cool, it has a value in the sense that when people see it, they associate it with your organization. And every time you change that, you have to spend money to educate your market that is now still representing you. So if you want to change your name, if you want to change your logo that maybe used to have your name really big in it, and then now it's not. Now it's just a chicken. You got to make sure people know that that chicken is you. That costs money. And so the cost or the value of any logo or icon project is going to be your previous knowledge, looking at the history of where you've been at, and then your current customer or growth acquisition formula and what kind of variable it can make in it. And when we see really bad problems like inconsistency, we oftentimes suggest not changing, but just tightening up,
simplifying
the rules around your brand. Things like when you see a Coca-Cola bottle, this is my favorite thing ever, is consistency. Coke's packaged and they've got this bottle shape. They've even worked it into their icon set, right? Mm-hmm. They've had it for 75 years. If you see a piece of a Coke bottle broken in the street, you know it's a Coke bottle without red and without the word mark. That is incredibly strong. Costs billions and billions of dollars to get there.
That or they broke into your car, but right, you'll know.
No, I know the difference between my broken glass in the car and a piece of a Coke bottle.
That was a joke.
If anything, it makes you like the thief more because you're like, oh, at least he's a Coke customer.
No, it is fascinating. Yeah. Obviously, and then you're talking the years, the time, the consistency. They've refined it over time, but they've maintained consistency and they've continued to, you know, drill into the focus logo, the focus set.
And the top luxury experience in Coca-Cola is still drinking Coke out of a glass bottle, the same shape.
Yes, made in Mexico.
So good.
Facts,
real
though.
Sugar.
Facts.
I want to dig in here, Justin, because if our listeners, nonprofit ministry, it makes sense with CPGs, consumer packaged goods, or brands that are selling a product, a Coke bottle, or that's not my nonprofit though. That's not my ministry. I'm not handing them. So why I get it on a Nike shirt? That shirt costs $5. I put a Nike logo on it. It's $50. So how does that? Why does that matter for my organization? How does that play into what I need? I'm fine. It's just about who I am, and it's our reputation, and we're doing great work. We're doing, you know, good ministry, and we're, you know, reaching these people. Logo doesn't matter.
Yeah, I always say that. It's a great point. It doesn't matter. I was thinking about logo project we're doing with Grace Family Church.
Mm.
They have the same sign in front of their church that they've had for like 10 years or 12, 15 years. Since the building opened. They never spent the money to change and put a new logo. They've had a couple different logos. And the same sign is still out front.
Yeah, one of the fastest growing church in the country.
It's the fastest growing large church in America.
So logos don't matter.
I just think it'd be hard to argue if the fastest growing large church in America hasn't changed in front sign that it matters.
All right. It's a wrap. Thanks for listening, guys. And you can no longer find logos on our website as a product offer.
Now.
Well, I mean, I'm a big logo fan. Like, I like branding. I like logos. I've been making logos since I was in high school. I remember when you and I first started working on that project,
don't bring me into this.
We kept saying that, like, it doesn't really matter.
Use his pseudonym.
Cold phone. See, that's a brand I don't know if everybody will associate with. I don't want to educate the market that cold foam is H. But
let's search the SEO of cold foam.
But I love the ability to talk to organizations to evaluate it, whether or not it's a need. And so why would a church that is growing that fast? Well, because we know how much it costs to get a new person to walk in the doors. We've been running marketing for them for 3 years. We have all of the data. And we know that one of the problems is that they have a really large social media team. They produce a ton of content. They have 4 or 5 insanely valuable sub-brands. They've got Zone doing incredible work. YouTube, I mean, some of the best kids programming in the world is coming out of this church. Has no connectivity to the icon or to the name Grace Family Church. It has no connectivity to beautiful No Connectivity,
which is
a women's ministry. Ministry that's doing incredible. They put on insanely great conferences and groups and curriculum, and I could go on about a lot of the different work that Grace Family Church is doing, but the icon was dropped, and they started playing around with different word marks. And while they kept the blue, it actually wasn't always consistent because it's expensive and it's hard to be consistent. And then they started to realize that the icon they had that they had purchased for about $100 off of a site called 99 Designs, which I have no problem with 99 Designs. We refer a lot of people to 99 Designs, and I think there's a great place for that. I think it's about $1,000 to $2,000 now to use them. But back in the day when they bought their logo from there, they bought a very generic logo that it actually about 100 other churches also bought. And so when you saw their logo, which was like a cross and a circle, you didn't really know what church that was representing. And the blue, you didn't really know was the same church that was Grace Family Church. So you really were stuck to seeing the whole word mark. The icon itself wasn't doing the job. And then when the word mark started changing and the icon was being dropped out and social was doing something and beautiful was doing something and zone was doing something, we were missing all of this incredible work. And if it could have just had one icon that identified it that was unique mm-hmm. and stood out, you could have grown without having to spend money running ads. You could have grown from all those other things where people could make an association, a brand association that we're paying for as we try to grow and reach people that don't know anything about that organization. And so consistency and tightening up the brand and helping an organization. So a lot of organizations, it's not the thing that makes them good, but they're great organizations. Right. Your organization might be amazing, but if people are interacting with pieces of it or people of your organization and your people are wearing a shirt or a hat and they can't even connect it back because it's not legible or because it's not that appealing or like people aren't wearing your stuff because it's not that cool or that good of quality, then you're missing out on this opportunity for people to associate back to what your organization is. And so I look at this very holistically, and I look at the formula as very loose. Mm-hmm. And I just start to say, after 20 years of doing this, there's a couple things I'll throw down here. The first takeaway is put your logo in your branding. Be consistent with it. That's the first one. Even if it sucks, stop changing it. Just be the sucky. Just keep it consistent and commit to it. The second thing is put it on the best thing you can.
Mm.
Okay? The Nike check itself
positioning
is
right
not good. It's not it's a long format. It's a very thin line in a big square or a circle. From a balance standpoint, it has too much negative space around it. It's not necessarily the best logo.
Agree.
The second that Michael Jordan's foot slips into a Nike, though, that thing is worth $1 billion. Because it's on the best basketball player, one of the best athletes that ever lived. And then way beyond that was their deal to make, you know, Nike associated with Jordan as like he's a owner. Like he's getting sales from everything. And then putting the Jordan brand into Nike brand. So as like a core sub brand, right? So you put the best athlete in the world as one of your sub brands. That's a pretty amazing persona story right there, right? So I say all that to say, second thing is put your logo on the best thing you can. If you have influential people in your organization, spend the money to embroider a good quality shirt that they want to wear. Mm-hmm. Because if they wore it twice as much as they wore your crappy shirt, you're getting way better exposure. I think shirts, hats, and t-shirts, golf shirts, whatever it is, are by far your best. As an organization, they're way better than billboards. I think they're your best bang for your buck. I'll spend $20 all day to put my logo on somebody who I love, I believe in, I support, mm-hmm. Because they have the opportunity to actually engage with somebody else in the community and to represent the brand as a persona mm-hmm. in the community. And so that's my number two thing is put it on the very best thing you can, whether that's your best people, whether they're on staff or not, give those shirts away. Absolutely. To everybody you possibly can. And the last takeaway I will just say is do focus on what you can do well and stop spreading your brand thin. And so I would just say, like, if you can just do one shirt, just print one shirt well. Don't try to print 3,000. Yeah. Print one shirt well. If you can do one giveaway, do a good giveaway that's not going to end up in the trash. And give it away to less people. Make it less accessible. And it might feel counterintuitive, but I'm a big fan of quality over quantity. And for your brand, unless you are specifically trying to say we are a cheap brand and we want people to feel cheap things, I would say go for that quality experience, quality engagement, quality resource. And so the things you do, even if it's just tightening up your organization, cut out your bad programming that you've been like, you spread yourself way too thin. And so, you know, we can get in strategically and say, hey, there's just a 10% trim or 15% trim versus, I mean, we have to do this every year. We have to trim things up. We've got product offerings that just don't make sense anymore. We got to trim them off and stop doing them when they're not really that valuable. They're not that good.
And focus stick on the quality.
The thing that's the most valuable. So, yeah. Anyways, there you go.
I love it. Let's wrap with this. Favorite or iconic, a brand that you feel connected to, you feel loyal to. What comes to mind? I think you're wearing yours right now, Justin. We got to talk about this because I've been staring at it. A little hoodie envy going on here right now. But tell me about the three stripes you're wearing.
Man, I missed a great Victoria's Secret joke right there. That would have been...
I don't really have a good brand I could...
Really?
That I feel comfortable talking about.
Wow.
Is there a client that we have that you'd feel comfortable shouting out?
I mean,
I feel
like I really just like said Grace was an amazing
which
brand.
We
like, yeah.
Did a lot of that.
And okay. I think, like, I honestly, I tell people I'm proud of that church and I'm proud of going there. Sweet. You want to go head to head on that, H?
Yeah.
Are you proud? H?
Oh man.
Yeah, I love their logo. Love it. Xbox.
How was that? How was the talking about that Grace logo? Was that a pretty good answer? No. You can cut it.
No, it's good. Yeah, good. Good. Okay. I think it's a good one to talk about. It's also vision casting that good. It's good. The filter with Grace is just, I can't.
I gotcha.
That's well, all. It's just like, it's tough for me with a Grace context. Outside of that, all good.
My only thought with it is if they hear it, is it going to come off negatively in any way?
No.
Is it going to come off like we're bashing the ones who aren't like on board or?
No.
So I think that'd be my only worry. But I feel like it's probably is one of our strongest examples of branding.
Yeah, the logo that we don't have on
that's
the shirt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just because it is and because it's getting rejected. It's getting rejected, by the way. They're starting over, which they're not, but they are. So that's why, to me, it's still like, but that's on them, not on us, really.
Yeah.
How many times have we started over?
Yeah.
Like seven?
Basically.
Yeah.
Let's do another, or do you want to?
Well, let's wrap
wrap this one. Yeah, I'm just trying to think through, like.
I know.
I'm concerned because most of the brands I really like they're not going to be relatable to the ICP.
I know. Yeah. No, I
don't want to talk about Fear of God, Adidas. I don't think that's relatable for the ICP.
Well, I think you made a big deal about GFC. So that's an example there.
Okay, let's go here. Let me phrase it. Tell me this. I'll talk about an organization. Hey, as we wrap, tell me about a logo/brand/identity of an organization that over time you've connected with or has built trust that you would give your money to, that you would volunteer at, we talked about Grace today. Obviously the reputation in Tampa Bay area and beyond is excellent. The brand matches that, the personnel matches that. What others have done that for you guys?
I mean, in the Tampa Bay area specifically, there's a ton of really good organizations. We work with a lot of them. And I'm super grateful for those opportunities to work with them. there's organizations that are doing a lot of work that are pretty broad and widespread. One that I think is really doing a lot of work and gives away a lot and has worked hard to build a reputation of being good stewards of the money you give and the time you give to them is Metropolitan Ministries. Yeah. I think, you know, you'll see advertising from them around town and you don't feel like, oh, I can't believe they're getting, I mean, maybe it's just me because I know that they get at, you know, they'll get billboards for free because they have such a good reputation. Yeah. And so I don't feel bad that there's, you know, they're on a billboard.
I had a recent experience that for me was inverted. The icon and the name I've identified and I've known forever, which is Advent Health. Never had to experience their brand until recently. I had to take one of my kids in for a few nights into the hospital. And boy, I'm telling you, it was an incredible experience.
No way.
It felt like I was pulling up to a resort. The care was incredible. The personalization, the follow through. I'm talking, I was sold. I haven't seen the bill yet. My insurance will handle that. But to connect that brand now with that experience at a time of pain, how they met the need and how they comforted us, I was very impressed, which hospitals and healthcare and ERs and urgent cares usually don't, right?
Right.
And that one, and it was unique to the one we went to, maybe because of the people there. So I commend them. We'll link you to this, put the link on that location on this episode.
Yeah.
But I was impressed. It really created that. I'm talking from what they were wearing on the front, the consistency to the pins and the jackets, the overlays, to the smell of a hospital lobby, to the paintings and the consistency, to the wall decor. It was incredible. Mm. I felt like a hotel, a 4 or 5 star hotel lobby experience. And then we get into the room, obviously pediatrics and for kids, the attention to detail for the kids, asking my son what their favorite toy was. And then 20 minutes later, popping in with a little car toy for him to change the game. Change the game.
That's really cool.
Yeah, very impressive. Yeah. So props to Advent Health.
Well, and I'm going to say, like, their logo. Well,
you stopped doing vacations. I noticed you just keep going back.
That's it. I call in sick and I show up to the hospital.
Right. I've been feeling bad sending meals to your house. If it turns out you guys have just been living it up down at Advent Health.
Bro, they're chicken piccatas. You punk.
Oh,
sleeping conditions are not at that level. But
Aaron, this has been trying to like take clients to the hospital for like a lunch meeting. He's like, you gotta
check this cafe.
Oh, don't listen to these guys.
Which one is it? Where is it?
It was
one of the crossroads.
It was in
I gotta check this out.
I gotta look into this. Yeah, no, you honestly, you'd be impressed. Their coffee shop in the lobby is incredible.
Is it?
It is. It's the one on the ends of Bruce B. Downs, and it's in the end of Carroll Wood area. I couldn't tell you the address, but I'll.
It's not the hospital on Van Dyke.
It's not the one on Van Dyke.
Okay.
No. It's right. Yeah, it's not even the closest one to me, but.
But you'll drive past a couple to go there for
but,
sure.
You know, and the spa.
the spa.
Their pool service. I'm sorry, Advent Health. It's incredible. We'll give you the props because your staff was amazing and is amazing.
That's
and
cool.
Grateful for the care of Advent Health. Colin, last one and we're out. Go.
Amazing. Oh, I got to get
billion one. Dollar branding project, Advent Health.
Yeah.
Buy hospitals. That's a super tough one.
Yeah. You don't need to hear mine. This has been enough. So thank you so much for listening to the Nonprofit Renaissance. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening to the Nonprofit Renaissance. We hope it ignites a renaissance in you and helps you go further and grow faster. Be sure to share, rate, and subscribe. And if you'd like to recommend or be a guest on our show, send us an email at podcast@versecreative.com. We'll be right back.